this is my son, that is alive. The son is dead. The other says, no, that your son is dead, and my son is the living one. And the king said, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is the mother. And all this were heard of the judgment that the king had written. And they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Verse 27 says, then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman. By no means put him to death. She is his mother. Will the real mother please rise? Will the real mother please rise? The books of 1st and 2nd Kings are the 11th and 12th chapter books of the Old Testament. The books of 1st 2 Kings of the 11th and 12th books of the Hebrew Bible. They are the last books of what we call the Deuteronomistic history of Israel. The Deuteronomistic history is the history of Israel from their crossing of the Jordan into the Promised Land to the release of Jehoiakim from Babylon. It chronicles the history of the divided monarchy, the united monarchy, the Babylonian exile, the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in 586 BC, and the return of the exiled children after Jehoiakim was released from Babylon. It is a historical document where some of the texts of the Bible are purely theological, like John, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles are historical books which teach us the history of the children of Israel and how God intervened in their lives. You have to remind yourself that the Old Testament is not a newspaper. It was not written in the present, and it is not written towards the future. It is a historical document about how God intervened and how God acted and how God revealed himself in the life history of the children of Israel. Whereas the New Testament is partly written in the present with the four Gospels, it is also a future tense book that looks forward towards the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here in 1st and 2nd Kings, we find out about two kings. The first one being David, who was the good king, who replaced Saul, who was a bad king. In chapter 2 of 1st Kings, David dies, and his son by Bathsheba, his first living child by Bathsheba, is crowned king of Israel and becomes king in chapter 3. Understanding the weight and understanding what his new position entailed, he finds himself having to need some alone time with God. And we see in chapter 3 that he goes up to Mount Gibeon to have a little talk with God. And there it is said, Deacon Moore, that God grants him one wish, one desire, one thing he thought he might need in his new kingdom. And one thing that he needed that would guide him through his years as king of his people. And what he asked for is not advisors. What he asked for is not a White House with spokesperson. What he asked for was not a big limousine. What he asked for was not Air Force One. What he asked for was not Camp David. What he asked for was not a ranch in Texas. What he asked for was wisdom. Because Solomon was smart enough to understand that if he got wisdom, he'd get everything else. See, some of us err in that we put the cart before the horse. We want to be rich, but we have no job. We want a new house, but we don't have a good credit score. We want our children to go to the best colleges, and we think we can bribe our way into God's blessing. But if you have wisdom, God will show you every way and every place and everything you need to do to get you to the destination that God wants you to get to. So instead of asking for anything materialistic, he asked for something spiritual, which was wisdom. And be very careful about your selfish prayers, because I'm not sure that God always answers selfish prayers. The prayers of the righteous, which are blessed, must are usually the prayers that we pray on behalf of someone else, when we intercede on somebody else, when we are humble enough to say, God, do it for them, because I know if you do it for them, I know you will also do it for me. The selfish people didn't clap. And so after coming down from the mountain, the text suggests to us that Solomon has his first issue as president and potentate. After coming down from this mountain, he has to deal with his first issue. After gaining wisdom, after asking God to lead him and guide him so that he might be a fair and wise judge and ruler over his people. After asking God and being granted wisdom to be the new king of God's children, he gets his first pop quiz. And the first pop quiz and the first issue that he has to deal with is not some treaty, not some nuclear war, a threat of nuclear war with a neighboring country. Not a Mueller report. Not a lying attorney general. Not a can't get the facts straight spokeslady. Not being sued for having an illegitimate business school. Not because your son is about to go to jail. Not because you got to have everybody, including your lawyer, lie for you. His first issue as president and potentate had to deal with two prostitutes. The first issue that he has to deal with as the new king of Israel, as the new president, and as the new potentate, has to deal with two prostitutes. Why in the world would God, as king over his people, have to deal with two prostitutes? Because God wanted to teach Solomon a lesson that as a ruler, as a judge over your people, you're going to have to always deal with people in Spring Valley and in the alley. And the way you treat people in the Spring Valley is the same way you have to treat people in the alley. That God sees no respect to person. That the janitor at the school is just as important as the principal in the school. And we've got to learn how to treat people correctly, no matter how we think about them, judge them, or have an erroneous opinion about it. The first issue that he had to deal with as the president and the potentate of Israel had to do with two prostitutes who were considered at that time scum of the earth and worthy of death. Two
prostitutes in Israel get pregnant at the same time. And they have children 3 days apart. And the Bible says that one of the prostitutes' child died. They both had 2 sons. And in the middle of the night, the prostitute's son who died switches the babies and gives the dead baby to the other woman and keeps the living baby. So that when the other mother woke up, she had a dead baby next to her and not a living baby suckling from her breast. I'm sure after screaming, I'm sure after losing her mind, I'm sure after wondering what in the world happened overnight, there's confusion now. Because every true mother knows their mothers and knows their child. And even though the other prostitute told her that's your child that died, a real mother knows their child. A real mother knows what every cry means. A real mother knows the difference between I need to be changed cry and I need to be fed cry. A real mother knows when you're having a bad day, even though you don't want to admit it. A good mother knows when you done failed a test because you ain't studied last night. A real mother knows their child. A real mother knows when they need to scorn you, but when they need to love you. Real mothers know their child. And that mother knew that that was not her dead child laying underneath her. And if they had followed the customs of the Bible, they took their case before the elders of the community. And because, Dr. Parker, there was no DNA test back then, there was no Maury Povich show to go on. There were 2 prostitutes, so neither one of them knew Erica who the real baby daddy was, so there was no picture to put the baby's face up. Ain't nobody want to help me. Ain't nobody want to help me this morning. Because there was no way to really scientifically tell who was the real mother, they take their case before the king. The first test that King Solomon has as president and potentate had to deal with 2 prostitutes. They both had their lawyers. Obviously, one of them didn't call my daddy. And they pleaded their case before the king. And the king doesn't know what to do. Because again, there's no way scientifically to prove which one of the mothers is the true biological mother. But wisdom gave him an out. And that wisdom said, cut the baby in half and give each one of the mothers half the baby. If they both claim ownership to the child, they can share ownership. And so we're going to cut the baby in half and give a half to each one of the mothers. But let me tell you something right there. Let me pause for station identification to let you know that God don't give out half blessings. I said God don't give out half blessings. Everything that is meant for you is coming to you. And let me give you something real heavy that's going to make you say, wow, ooh, wow, where you get that from? If you ain't got it, it's because you weren't supposed to get it. I know that just shocked you. I know, oh, man, he's smart. If you ain't got it, it's because you weren't supposed to get it. And somebody ought to be a witness in here. Thank God I didn't get everything I asked for. Thank God I didn't get everything I prayed for. Thank God I didn't get everything I lusted for when I went back to the 25th class reunion and what used to be fine had turned into a big bag of swine. Oh, thank God that he didn't let it happen to me. Is there anybody in here that wants to thank God? You didn't get that half a man. You didn't get that half a woman. You didn't get that half a job. You didn't get that half a house. You got the whole thing. God is never going to give you half.
You know, the gospel is for free, but you got to pay for this shipping and handling. this story. Solomon says, Erica, get out the sword and cut the baby in half. And the real mother says, no. The real mother says, please, king, don't cut the baby in half. If that is your only choice, give that child. Someone else. And have my dead baby dead. The bad mother was willing to allow that to happen because she had already experienced the pain of death. So she wanted that other woman to experience the pain of death. Be very careful about the company you keep. Ain't no need for you to be hanging out with women who are in a bad marriage because they want your marriage to be bad like theirs. The Lord told me to sit down, but give me a seatbelt. Stop talking to women who are unhappy when you're happy because they are trying to make you unhappy like them. I know it looks like advice. I know they want you to hear advice, but you don't know the spirit of unhappiness is creeping all over you. Leave them to God and let God fix their problems. Are you in a good marriage, in a happy home, got a good job, dealing with people who can't handle theirs? Everybody in a ditch wants somebody to keep them company in the ditch. So the other woman didn't care that if they killed the baby because she had already been through her grief and pain. Everybody don't want you to be happy. That's why you can't share all your blessings with everybody. I heard the theologian Cheryl Underwood come say, if a woman borrows some shoes from you, tell them to throw them in the yard. Don't let that girl in your house. Throw them in the yard, boy, and keep on moving. Everybody don't want you to be happy. And I'm sorry, you can't share all your blessings with everybody. God will give you a pen, God will give you a job. There's a few people you can share your supernatural blessings with because you can't share everything with everybody. There are haters on your room right now who ain't said nothing all day. So that good mother said, don't kill the baby. She can have it. What had happened was Solomon built that woman's heart. God had already granted him the wisdom and the discernment he needed. God never takes you to anything that he's not going to take you through. And God is always going to prepare you before you get there. That's why you don't ever have to be worried. That's why you don't have to be scared. That's when calamity happens your way. Don't get concerned. Don't get worried. Don't really figure out how you're going to figure out. You find out how God is going to figure out that thing for you. And God will work it out every time. And that mother who knew that it was her child biologically said, give that child to the other woman so that my child might live. And the king felt her heart. And I declare unto you that the king feels your heart right now. Every mother under the sound of my voice, he knows your heart. He knows your love. He has seen every sacrifice, every meal you have gone without, every second or third job you might have taken, every man whose number you would not take or return, to every man who wanted to take you out that you just said no, to everyone who wanted to babysit your child, and how y'all leaving your children with a man you just met on Facebook? Two nights ago, and
wonder how the baby ended up in ER. The real mother will rise to the occasion. A real mother will rise and make every sacrifice that they have to make sure that their child lives out their God-given destiny. Mother say, you may write me down and hide me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you while you were set with gloom? The way I walk is like oil wells flowing from my living room, like the moon and like the sun, with the certainty of the tide. Just like hope springing high, still, I rise. Every mother who has sacrificed for their child will rise. Every mother who has worked 2 and 3 jobs will rise. Every mother who makes sure their child went to church will rise. Every mother who made sure that child was in Sunday school, sang in the choir, ushered in after the rock. Every mother who taught their child about Jesus will rise. Every mother, I'm giving you time to catch up, every mother that knows Jesus and the pardoning of your sins will rise. Every mother who loves the Lord will rise. Every mother that will make sure their child eats before they eat will rise. Every child that will make sure that their child goes to tutoring and ACT prep and SAT prep will rise. Every mother who will not let anybody watch their child stay over at their house and go over to anybody else's house and have a play date with anybody they don't know will rise. Every mother who has been good to their child and who God has blessed will rise. Everybody who don't mind and mother who don't mind praising the Lord will rise as they thank God that I had a good mother who taught me how to be a good mother will rise. Everyone who will give praise that you had a mother, everyone who will give praise that you got a mother right now, everyone who will help you, but you will not be. Who cried, mother who's supposed to ask and give God the praise because he gave you not half a blessing, but a. Mother's Day to my mother.